You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
And we're back with Who Arted.
Good morning. Hi.
What an exciting time.
It's a very exciting time of every week. Okay, so today on Who Arted we have Gary Lanksford from New Zealand's top dealer gallery, Gow Lanksford. Gary will be talking about Gow Lanksford's current group exhibition in print, a show of the divinely beautiful books that they have on display to coincide with Auckland's Readers and Writers Festival. Kia ora, Gary.
Yeah, good morning.
I'm so excited to have you here today, and we have such limited time, so I'm going to dive right in with a quick spiel. We have one half of a legacy on the show this morning, listeners. Gary Lanksford of Gow Lanksford Gallery, situated just across from Auckland Art Gallery on Kitchener Street. It is easily the top dealer gallery this fair land has to offer. As an Elamite, I remember adoring the Wellesley Street window display late at night after a long and day of theoretical contemplations. I wrote this late at night. Always seeing it as the pinnacle of success. If Gow Lanksford represents you, you've made it.
Fabulous.
Yeah, this is good, eh? I don't want a job, but maybe I do, who knows? Of all the dealer galleries, Gow Lanksford somehow manages to maintain the supreme allure of the top echelon of artists in their work, and at the same time maintains an open-to-everyone-chilled environment, making it a pleasure to frequent. The gallery is like a conceptual masterpiece in itself, reaching out reaching out to the widest audience, from the discerning to the curious noob. I've managed to lure Gary here today under the pretense of a current exhibition they have of books. Beautiful, 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 exquisite books of art. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of books, let me first introduce Sir Gaz and pry just a little into the life of a man who has done so much for New Zealand art culture.
Quite an intro, actually.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm taking that as a compliment.
That is a compliment.
Okay, yeah. Good. Gary, as a sprightly young lad, you studied Elam. You studied sculpture at Elam.
Yeah.
And played in bands.
Exactly.
And did you drive fast cars as well?
Probably not then, really.
Okay,
although
Growing
up in the Tron, one does drive
That's
cars,
right. You came from the Hamiltron.
Exactly.
I know this.
Like all famous people in Auckland.
Yeah. That's true. When did you start selling stuff, aside from art? What was the first thing you sold, and at what point did you decide to sell art?
I guess I became a trader out of necessity. You know, I could never make enough money working, and it seemed like a really good way to generate some income was to buy something secondhand. You can't buy new, you've got to buy secondhand and sell it for more than what you paid for it. It's a very basic principle, and it still applies today.
Can you remember the first thing you sold?
No, my memory's not that good. It wouldn't be anything flash. It was probably, you know, $5 to $15.
A $5 vase.
Something, yeah.
In an industry that traditionally favours male artists, or that has so, what is the ratio in your gallery of men to women, and do you give a shit anyway?
No, I don't give a shit, actually.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting.
Because, you know, and I've never ever looked at it as a gender-based thing. I look at the art, and I don't care who makes it. You know,
I'm a bit the same, you know? Except I do notice that I, with my art stuff that I do with helping artists, I always gravitate towards female work. But I think that's just because I'm a female. That's probably just a taste thing.
I mean, I know it's dominated by male artists, particularly internationally, but that's all kind of changing over the last decade, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Do you think the internet's probably helped with that?
No, I just think more awareness in general.
Oh, yeah.
Like people like Lee Krasner and Joan Mitchell and international names like that now starting to, you know, make some similar prices to the male artists.
Well, that's good, isn't it? So from my own meagre experience in working with artists, I've learnt I can work with some over others. The work is... I've learnt, yeah.
Don't get me started.
I am prying here. I did warn you. The work is what initially captivates me, but it's the attitude of the artist that defines the longevity of the relationship. What attracts you to an artist?
Yeah, and some artists we have shown now for nearly 30 years. So that's that's outlasted numerous marriages and things in the gallery.
Wow. Who would that be?
Judy Miller.
Yep.
Dick Frizzell.
Richard,
Carl
yes.
Morn. You know, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I guess you do build those personal relationships,
yeah.
But the art has to evolve, and you need the dialogue with the artist.
That's
so
quite
if the art's good, that's still a key point.
Yeah. So, like most dealer galleries, Gow Lanxford has a range of art to suit every enthusiast. From Richard Frizzell, sorry, I've just taken to calling Dick. Him that lately. Why can't he be called Richard?
Sir Richard.
Yeah. With his iconic satirical Kiwiana to the abstract painted love fests of Australian artist Dale Frank. What is your... I know, another gem I've come
love
up
that.
With. What is your personal favourite style of art?
Well, look, I started out really as a minimalist, you know, and doing sculpture at Elam, that was the time. You know, we were very into Donald Judd and Carl Andre, Dan Flavin, so you get affected by that. But, you know, as I've grown up, got older, shall we say, my tastes are much more eclectic.
Okay.
So right across, you know, I probably wouldn't have given Picasso the time of day while I was at Elam, but now, you know, he's certainly an acknowledged master, for example.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I began loving Picasso a little bit more before Elam, actually.
And then you've gone the other
and
way.
And now I'm finding I get more and more embittered towards him, especially when I hear stories about...
Well, he's a bit of a misogynist.
Yeah, and so I'm like, you... Yeah, so. I don't like you anymore, Picasso. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the work, not the man.
Okay,
that happens
right.
a lot
yes,
in the art business.
I know. Yes, know. that's true. Okay, so your current exhibition of books is something to behold. Not that I've seen it yet in the flesh. Fine works of art in themselves, my favourite being, but from what I've seen of the press release, the Bettina Rhymes.
The Bettina Rhymes.
Yeah. Rose Seth de Paris.
Yeah.
An edition of only 100, which includes an original C print housed within a succulent retro suitcase with accompanying souvenirs of a rose, a mask and a miniature Eiffel Tower.
Exactly.
Obviously miniature. Relating to the erotic tale of some twisted twin sisters and the debauchery that they get up to.
Why does that appeal to you?
Well, in Grand Paris, I always like anything that's a little bit...
risqué.
Risqué. Yeah. That's why I feel very comfortable in the arts arena, because I know whatever I do, I'm kind of safe because...
Oh, you can get away with it.
Yeah, I can kind of get away with it. Any other industry, it would be like she's out of control.
That's right.
And I'm kind of safe in this area. Anyway, what particular book currently on display is your most prized and why?
Interesting. I do. Well, I like the Ai Weiwei because it's... Tashin have been very clever with what they've done. They've added a whole lot of value to what is essentially just a book. Mm-hmm. And they've done that by shifting the scale, by adding making limited editions and adding limited edition prints, or in this case, a big marble plinth that the book sits on. So it becomes something else. It's not just a book. You get the book, but you get... an image, you get a sculpture.
It's a real showpiece.
Yeah. And honestly, Tashin have really seen a gap in the market and have really taken it and given it a good shake.
How heavy was that to
bloody heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so.
I stayed away when we lifted that on the plinth.
Really? Is it that heavy?
It's heavy. It's a 4-man lift.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Or a 4-woman lift, I should say.
Smooth, dude. Okay, so through your career, you've been witness to the globalization of culture via the internet. This most certainly would expand the repertoire of what makes a brilliant artist, and more so than ever, emphasize the gravitas of an artist's brand and how that can influence the communication of work, rather than the old notion of a sole masterpiece defining genius. In the context of today, what kind of artist or artwork gets you excited?
Yeah, it's getting more and more difficult, actually, to get the buzz, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I visit a lot of art fairs. I probably go to more commercial galleries than museums. But if you want that masterpiece fix, then you obviously got to go to MoMA or MoCA or LACMA or somewhere.
Yeah.
But I guess you walk through an art fair and see thousands of images, and it's something will just grab you. And a lot of the time it's... sort of semi-historical. I mean, my favourite artist, Lucio Fontana, you know, hard to beat. But now and again you'll come across something and it'll just stop you and then you'll spend some time.
Are you going to the Venice Biennale? You must be.
I didn't go for the Vernissage, but I'm off to Art Basel in a few weeks. And then
so
go
am
down,
I.
Go
hey,
down
hey.
To Venice to the Biennale and check it out now that the madness is subsiding.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be exciting. Anything in particular you're very, very excited to check out?
Well, you have to see Damien, don't you?
Oh,
really?
I know.
I mean, I think he's everywhere. So I'll reserve my comments on that until I've seen it.
Okay, nice work. Yeah. All right, so getting near the end of our time now, just some quick fire questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the first one's not that quick fire. What advice do you have for young artists wanting to wanting a successful career in fine art?
I'll become a brain surgeon.
Okay, that's very good advice.
Yeah.
And what would you define as a successful artist as well?
Well, I think that the whole measure of success has changed drastically. I mean, when we were at art school, and I mean me, my peers.
Yeah, I saw.
Not you. Yeah.
No, that's okay. I am actually quite old.
All we ever wanted to do was make art. I mean, we never even considered the possibility of selling anything.
Mm.
And that's changed drastically now that the prices for art in the market have changed and become so expensive. I mean, when a Cy Twombly sells for $66 million at auction and a de Kooning for $59 million, etc., then, you know, if you become a successful artist, you can be as good as the next CEO.
Do you think there's money? Do you think there's much money laundering at that level of sale?
Look, it is the last great unregulated market in the world, and there's been a lot of speculation around that. And you know, in the international market, there's a lot of Russians and Chinese, and there's a lot of very, very wealthy people in the world.
Yep.
What else are they going to do? They've got to buy some art. Yeah.
Exactly.
They've got everything else.
Yeah, that's true. That's why it's in Switzerland, Art Basel, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so just now our quick fire questions.
Mm.
Cars.
Yes.
I know you dig cars. Mm-hmm. You still race cars?
I do.
You have quite a collection. I have three questions around cars. And the first one's going to come across as weird, but I'm going to take the hit first.
Right.
If I were a car, what kind of car would I be? Be very careful.
That's a trick question. That's a really trick question.
Just be honest.
I'll have to go
Be nice.
I
wish I had nothing.
I'll go with a Fiat Dino.
So
it's not a Ferrari Dino, it's a Fiat Dino. It's got the same engine, though.
See, I think of myself as more of a Jaguar, but obviously that's not yet.
No, too old-fashioned.
Okay, so next question. If Michael Paracofe was a car, what kind of car would he be?
I don't know it, but it would be wrapped in, stainless steel or platinum or
not
gold
like plastic wrapped.
It'd probably be a Rolls-Royce.
Okay. And what about you if you were a car?
Something single seater and dangerous.
Nice. Okay, and finally, and you have to be honest, because what's the worst that can happen? What New Zealand artist would you want on your books that you don't currently have? And I know that's controversial.
That's very controversial.
Okay, well, I kind of want to let you off the hook, but I'm
No, you can't. For a long time, I chased Bill Hammond, and we've never managed to get Bill Hammond.
Bill Hammond.
So, Bill, if you're listening, now is the time.
I'm pretty sure he texts us every show, telling us how much he loves the show.
Yeah, and he's also a drummer, so you know, there's got to be a connection somewhere.
Okay, well, that's what we've got time for today. But thank you so much for coming in. We've got. Imprint is on in the it's in the Lawn Street.
Kitchener and Wellesley.
Corner of Kitchener and Wellesley, just across from the art gallery at Gow Langsford. That was Gary Langsford today, and thank you so much.
No problem.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.